Just double checking to see if I see Diane.
Join yet.
Give her a minute. I know I've been late to every meeting I've been to today, except for this one. So, okay, we'll go ahead and get started. Amy, as our fearless leader today, I'm depending on you, but we're opening up the November 1st Des Moines Waterworks Planning Committee meeting. We'll have folks introduce themselves as they speak. And the first item on our agenda for today is the Des Moines Waterworks Rules and Regulations update. And then, if I remember correctly, this is an annual thing that we do. And based on feedback and situations over the course of the year. So I'll turn it over to you, Amy, to expand and help us dive into that.
Thank you, Andrea. And you're exactly right. This is something we evaluate these rules and regulations every year at this time for changes needed. And sometimes we have fairly significant policy or fee changes that we ask the board to weigh in on. This year, at least in our view, the proposed changes are all pretty benign that Laura and Jenny will review. These rules and regs, you know, just as a reminder, exist to protect our water system and also our customers. And so they're really important to us as a set of our rules. This year, as you'll hear from Laura and Jenny, I think the reactions or the changes are reactions to circumstances that have we've encountered through the years. And we just want to firm up the language a little bit. So with that, I will turn it over to Laura.
Yes. Jenny or Michelle, are you going to pull up the summary sheet?
I can pull it up if Michelle lets me share my screen.
So I'm filling in for Michelle today. This is Rachel. I will pull it up for you.
Okay. Thanks, Rachel. Sorry. This is a great tutorial on how to get to our board page on our website. scroll down to the summary pages. There we go, right there. All right. So Jenny and I are, Jenny Puffer, the Director of Water Distribution, and myself as the Director of Customer Service and Marketing, are gonna tag team this short presentation. This is a summary that was included in your packet of the proposed rules and regs changes for 2023. And really, as Amy has already mentioned, these are pretty benign changes, some clarification in languages throughout the document that we have run into some gray area, and we really need to firm up some of the language to make sure that we are intending the spirit of the rules and regulations out in practice in the field. So we are here to talk about that. I have the first section, which is the section 502 that has the first set of changes. You'll notice 500 and 501 have no changes. 502 is actually likely an edit of two words, but it's an important edit that we feel in the customer service department. And this language clarifies that service to be started in a customer's name when there is an unpaid balance for water service at a previous address. And it's really, the edit is turning from the current language that says service to be turned on to service in a customer's name. So just a small edit in the language that helps us enforce our current customer practices here in the customer service department.
Okay, I'm going to take the next two sections. So section 505 has to do mainly with our tracer wire system. So when we have a new water main installed, we bury a copper conduit or tracer wire with it that allows us to hook up at a fire hydrant with our locating equipment and trace out where that water main is underground. So it's a very important system for us. It contains a number of little parts and pieces that we want to update. This is something we update like every 5 to 10 years. We kind of make sure we've got the right parts and pieces in place. This time we want to change the wire from the wire we're currently using, which is a big thick wire, to something a little bit smaller and thinner. And the reason for that is we take that wire and we wrap it around kind of a conductor area on a hydrant. And so when we try and wrap that around on think of a bolt, that doesn't wrap very well when it's a big thick wire. And so if we go with something a little thinner and more pliable, we can get that to work out a little better for us. We also want to change the length of the ground rod we use. So we stick a ground rod into the ground, and currently it's a short thing we use. We want to go back to having about a 5-foot ground rod to get us deep into the ground for our system. And then the third part we're using or wanting to change is the splice kit. So if we have two pieces of wire underground, you use a whole 100-foot roll of run out, you want to splice it to the next roll. We need to make sure that that connection or that splice stays dry. And so there's a splice kit we can use that the contractor installer will put together those two ends, and they seal up very tightly so the water can't penetrate in. It's something we've already been using for a number of years. We just need to specify here in the rules and regs what that product is going forward. So those are what the changes are in section 505, is the tracer wire system itself. Section 506 then is cross connection and backflow prevention. And here we want to add a paragraph about how to decommission an irrigation system. So there are some homeowners out there that either have moved into a property that has backflow in an irrigation system, or they've decided they no longer want to irrigate their yard and they want to just take that system out of their plumbing. And we need to make sure they're doing that properly, because what we've run into is a plumber has disconnected that for them, but they've left a long run of pipe with water in it that gets stagnant and aged, and then it kind of contaminates their household water. So we want to make sure when they disconnect that irrigation system, that backflow preventer, they're doing it as close to the start of the water service as they can, so we don't end up with a long dead end piece of water main or service line in this case. So we've added some language, just a paragraph, if you will, in this section 506 to help clarify how to do that properly.
So sorry to interrupt, but how does something like that come to our attention? That seems very, you know, disconnected to, you know, how we would daily interact. Do we do an inspection when a backflow system is disconnected?
Okay. Yes, to make sure it actually was disconnected. We don't want to just take their word for it. So that's how we're finding this. Sometimes there's an easier way to do things. It isn't necessarily the right way to do it. And so we're trying to clarify what is the right way.
Thank you.
All right. No changes in section 507 or 508, but an important section that is important for the utility is our water meter section. And since Alec is on the line as a new board member, I'm going to give a shout out to the water meters. They are the utilities cash registers. So you'll hear that term. So we want to make sure that we are properly installing and metering for customers' water consumption. And so here are some clarifications on how things can be installed in the system. Specifically, 509.4.1 has been edited to talk about our manufacturing home communities, specifically on where those meters can be placed. properly placed as an individual meter. So some complexes used to are using master meters to serve their complex, but this edit provides some flexibility for these communities to individually meter those homes, but they have to be installed in a meter pit outside of the unit. So this is good language for the those communities if they choose to partake in this metering option. The next edit, 12.4 in the water meter section, has to do with traffic rated lids for meter pits in right of ways. So this is very specific, but a much needed and improvement in the language. This will protect personal property and also the meter pit structure in order to have a lid that is rated for traffic when it is in the right of way. So very important for personal property and the meter pit structure. And then 15.1 and 2 are clarifying our practices and billing system capabilities for water-only meters in our Pleasant Hill service area and the sewer deduct meter in our other service areas. So this is just how our billing system is able to connect those deduct meters in the billing system for that property's account. So very, very benign language, just current practices and billing system capabilities language. And then 15.3 is an addition to the rules and regs, a brand new section, brand new subsection of the water meter section. And this has been added to address individual tap and service line requirements for irrigation of common use multi-unit properties. So we want to make sure that irrigation meters or water-only meters that are serving a multi-unit property have its own service line, own tap and service line for that meter.
All right, section 511, schedule of charges. So this is the schedule where we put all the various fees we charge for different things, and then we update that every year. So as an example, some of the things in here include tap charges. So if someone wants to make a connection to our water main, what is that tap fee? There's system development fees in there. There's tap retirements. If someone wants to remove a connection, what does that cost? Our labor rate is in there. So the amount of money we charge for a regular hour employee or an overtime hourly employee. The equipment fees. So if we're going to have a backhoe or a dump truck and need to charge for those, we match the DOT rates on those. There's also meter fees. There's laboratory fees. If someone wants to have their water tested for various things, what does that cost? All of those things are in there. Basically, we're updating the labor and materials cost every year. So just as the cost of living goes up around the country for various things, we see that as well in the materials and the labor we have here. So we're making that kind of match, if you will. What it actually costs us to do is what we're putting in the fees. So there are no new fees this year, nothing new to be added. It's just the updates to the fees themselves to make sure we're covering our costs. Then section 512 is figures. So we have a number of figures or drawings that help outline what our rules and regs are saying. And so we're making changes to those based on what I talked about earlier, the tracer wire system. We have a number of outlines for tracer wire and the figures that have now been updated. And then we've added two figures to talk about decommissioning and irrigation systems, showing how that needs to be done. In addition to the language we put in the paragraph, there's actually a picture, if you will, a little drawing that outlines how to do that. So those are the changes to the figures this year.
On to section 515, water shortage plan. It seems like quite a bit of edits if you dig into the actual edited document, but we are hopeful that this is a bit more user-friendly language for the public and our customers to understand our water shortage plan. And the terms irrigation have been replaced with lawn watering. That's a bit more user-friendly to understand. And then also when we reference odd even days, We actually spell out those days, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We spell out those days instead of just automatically assuming customers know what odd days and even days are of the week. So this language also is consistent with the proposed water shortage language that is being proposed in regionalization documents. So we're hoping to tie into that and we can move forward as a region with the consistent language across the board. And then in the same water shortage plan section, 6.5 just reinforces the billing practice and the billing capabilities of the emergency water shortage rate that happens only in stage 4 of the water shortage plan. So just a bit more emphasis on the actual practice of the billing during that stage 4. Finally, the last section of the document that has been edited also looks like quite a bit of edits, but it is reflective of current practice and current law. The law, Iowa Code Chapter 22, was signed into law and it made into effect July 1. So we are currently practicing this, but we need to update our rules and regs to make sure that we are enforcing it with consistency going forward. And these updates include the timing of the response and the inability to charge legal fees for review of documents, except for attorney-client privilege and protected confidential information. So really just following what the law has outlined and updating our language for current practices.
And that comes... Rachel, can you scroll up a little bit to the meter section? Laura shared on that last change the other day, kind of the circumstance that led to this. And so I just wanted to, Andrea and Alec, give you guys an appreciation for how these changes come about. And Laura, you can keep my facts straight, but there was a multi-unit property somewhere in our service area. And when it was constructed, to save money, the developer actually put the irrigation meter and line in one of the units that was going to be owned or rented by the resident. And so that bill ultimately comes to the resident instead of the homeowners association, which seems incredibly unfair. And there was, you know, a bit of an entanglement, I think, between the resident and the homeowners association. And we really didn't have anything in our rules and regulations to disallow that. So it's those types of situations that we would never imagine when we wrote the rule to begin with that come up and pop up. And so each year we really just take that. To me, that's a great example of us taking an opportunity just to clarify so everyone is on the same page what is and is not allowed for fairness, frankly, for the customers.
Great, and I appreciate, those scenarios, because some of these, absolutely, you're wondering, we're glad that they're being addressed, but how in the world did they ever come to our attention that they needed to be addressed?
I have to say each year, we as staff think, what more can we possibly change in this rules and regulations? It's been through so many iterations, and every year the rules and regulations team, you know, comes up with several. So it's interesting, the evolution.
Did we make it through them all then? Are there... Alec, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to make sure that if you do have any questions, I'm giving you a space to ask them.
I appreciate it. No questions. I don't think I know enough to ask anything too pointed just yet. I trust you guys are doing the right thing.
Well, great. I appreciate you guys, walking us through, Laura and Jenny walking us through those changes. it seems like it's going to be very easy for me to touch on those at our board meeting later in this month, that they all do seem pretty benign. I guess moving forward with our agenda, if there's nothing else on that, I'll turn it over to you, Amy, for any general manager comments or thoughts to share.
Thank you. Ted is, you know, always has something profound to share at this point. And I do have one thing that we wanted to, or that I wanted to update you on. You know, we're on the doorstep, as we've talked a lot about, with some critically important regional projects related to the 10 MGD expansion at Sailorville. And Des Moines Water Works has received 5 proposals for design of the new transmission mains related to that expansion. So despite that Central Iowa Water Works, the regional entity, isn't yet standing, we still believe that regional input is important in this project. And so Kyle will be convening the first meeting of an ad hoc technical advisory committee this Friday to review the proposals and hear the perspectives of the communities and our regional partners. So that will be happening on Friday, and our intent is to bring you the board a recommendation later this month.
I would also be interested just in, you know, not necessarily a formal report, but just the reception that you get from the communities and involving them in this discussion. I think that's, you know, very forward thinking of us, and I don't think that may be standard practice elsewhere, but I think it goes to show a lot about our, where we stand in this regionalization discussion and the importance we see in making sure that we're all coming along as we continue to think about our future.
I totally agree. I think it shows our commitment to working together as a region, even without a formal structure. I think that's really important. You know, those communities will have hopefully some input and some insight that we can consider. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be really important, an important meeting. And I know Ted or Kyle, actually Ted won't be there because he's out this week, but Kyle can share some of those insights with
the board. Great, thank you. Anything else? This may be the shortest meeting I've ever participated in. I'm waiting for more.
That's it. We don't have anything else unless there are questions from the board.
I don't have any questions. And I'm not sure that I see any public on the line today.
See any public? They all look like familiar names.
All right. Well, thank you all for taking time out of your day to share this information with us. Thank you, Alec, for joining in and participating in this meeting. And we'll just let everybody get back to work.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you all.
Bye-bye.